Yudalef Amid Alef Bayuot 11a1. We're going to start again the Mishnah, even though with the Mishnah we learned already. The Mishnah says Eisin Makel LaGagol Amapresis. On Chol HaMoed you're allowed to make a railing for a roof or a gallery, meaning a balcony. Ma'aseh Hedyit, in the way of an amateur. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. But you cannot make a professional fence on Chol HaMoed. You can make an amateur fence. Avalei Ma'aseh Umen, but not in a perfect way. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Shavin asesdokim, you're allowed to smear plaster over cracks. Magila neisib magila, you can even flatten them with a roller. Biyad ubebarzo, biyad uberegel, with your hand or with your foot. Avalei b'machz lotzayim. A mach lotzayim is a type of wood, like he says, it's a foot-shaped block that they used to seal cracks with. And that was the real professional way of doing it. So that was forbidden. Then the Mishnah says, "Hatzir, v'atzinar, v'akeira, v'amanu, v'amafteich shenishbru." If a pivot, a socket, a lintel, a lock, or a key broken Chol HaMoed, so by not fixing it, you're going to open up the door for ganovim, thieves, to come into the house. So then the din is, you're allowed to do it. Misaktim b'meid, you're allowed to fix them in Chol HaMoed. U'bevatshi yiskaven lasis melachta b'meid, as long as you didn't plan to do it in Chol HaMoed. He knows he can't leave things. He can't leave the work from before Yom Tif to do it for Chol HaMoed. If you broke on Yom Tif, meaning you couldn't fix it before, so then you're allowed to do all these things in Chol HaMoed. And he says, v'chol kvashim, any type of pickling of food, which is again a work. So it says, kol she yochel lechom en b'meid, anytime if it's a pickling in a way that you can eat it on Yom Tif, meaning it won't take more than a week to pickle it, so then you're allowed to pickle them in Chol HaMoed, because then you're doing food for Yom Tif. Food for Yom Tif, you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. But if it won't be pickled until after Yom Tif, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. So basically, the Mishnah said three dinim. One is, you're allowed, or four dinim. One is, you're allowed to make a fence in an amateur way. Secondly, you're allowed to make fixed locks and keys and all that. And the third thing is that any type of pickled food that you're going to eat on Yom Tov, you're allowed to pickle it on Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, you can't. So the Gemara asks, what is called the work of an amateur when it calls to fix a railing around the roof? What's the difference between a professional way of doing it and the amateur way of doing it? So Rav Yosef says, Behutz v'dafna. If you make wood palm branches and laurel branches, so that's called amateur way, because it's not a permanent way. If it's not a permanent way, so then you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Tana and the Bamasnita, Tana and the Braisa, we learned. Sar b'tzrar, if you pile stones to make a railing, but when you talk about it, you don't cement it, that's also amateur, because it's not permanent. You know, and if you do it in a professional way, that's going to last. That's called professional, and you're not allowed to do it, even though it's a mitzvah. But if it's not going to be done professionally, then you could do it because it's amateur. That's what the Mishnah said. Then the Mishnah continued and said, the Gemara says, it quotes from the Mishnah, Shavin as a zedokin, you're allowed to smear plaster over cracks, or magila, and you're allowed to flatten them with a roller, by hand or by foot, but not with this machzoayim, whatever it's called. So the Gemara asks like this, Hashte b'magila marta shari, if you said you could use a roller, so for sure your hand and foot you could do it with. The Mishnah said you can smoothen the plaster with a roller or your hand or foot. So the question is, if the Mishnah says you could do it with a roller, which is more professional than your hand or foot, so why does the Mishnah have to say with your hand or foot? For sure you're allowed to. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kama, this is what the Mishnah says. Shafin as a sedokim, you can smear plaster over the cracks. Umagilin Esa, and you can flatten them. Ke'ein Magila, like a roller, but only biyado beregel. In other words, the Gemara learns the Mishnah says you can't use a roller. A roller is already professional. The only way you're allowed to put cement, plaster, on a crack in Chol HaMoed is only if you smooth it with your hand or foot. If you smooth it with your hand or foot, so that's not professional. But even with the roller, you wouldn't be allowed to. And definitely not b'machlotzayim, with this machlotzayim, which is according to the Gemara, is even worse than a roller. Then the Gemara says, Hatsur, atzir, v'atziner, v'akera, v'aminu, v'amavteich, shenishbru, if a pivot, socket, lintel, lock, key broke, so mesaknim b'meid, you can fix them in chol ha'meid, but you're not allowed to intend to leave the work over for chol ha'meid. So the Gemara says, v'aminu, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Mishnah, ad yomav ha'yapatish, patish makabir shalayim. The Mishnah Saita says, there was this great rabbi, Yechonon Kohen Gadol. We learned about him in the past. This Yechonon Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And then he became an apikeidus. He became a non-believer. He stopped believing. But he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And he made a lot of takonis and things. So it says, until the days of the Yechonon Kohen Gadol, people used to hear the noise of a hammer banging in Yerushalayim. And he stopped it. He said, you know what? It's not right for hammers to be banging in Yerushalayim, and he stopped it.
You mean on Shabbos?
No, no, no. Now, so it says in the Mishnah, Ad Yomav, until his days, Hayimak Patish Makab Yerushalayim, a thing would be banging. So the Gemara says, Ad Yomav in. That means only until his days. But after his days, he stopped it. Mikan ve'elach lai. That means you can't use tools. The Gemara thought now that Yechonon Kohen Gadol forbade any types of tools to be used in the Chol HaMoed. That's what the Gemara thought now. So the Gemara says, how can you fix a key, a lock, a pivot, whatever, with tools on Chol HaMoed when the Yechonon Kohen Gadol stopped using tools because he stopped hammers? So the Gemara thought he probably stopped all tools. So the Gemara says, how could you do it if he stopped allowing to be used tools on Chol HaMoed? So how does our Mishnah say you can fix things with tools? So Gemara says, Leikashe. Kam ben nafche, Yechonon Kohen Gadol was dealing with the hammer of a blacksmith. Those things are massive, they make a loud noise. But our Mishnah speaking, ben nagre carpenter tools. Carpenter tools are like a hammer. They don't make anywhere near the noise of a blacksmith thing. So the Gemara answers, Yechonon Kohen Gadol only forbade loud instruments. These are carpenter instruments, they're not as loud, so Yechonon Kohen Gadol didn't forbid them. So therefore, when our Mishnah says you can fix locks, keys, or whatever you want, on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says like this, Maskala Rav Chista. Rav Chista asked a very practical question. He says, Kala Rabba Asir, Kala Yemu Kala Zuta Shari, but a soft sound is permitted. In other words, he said like this. Rav Chista thought that the Gemara's answer is like this. A loud noise, you cannot do. A lesser noise, you could do. So the Gemara says, well, that's not defining it properly. What's called a loud noise, what's called a small noise? You can't make a rule by saying a loud noise is forbidden. A lower noise is allowed. Who defines louder and lower? If you speak to your neighbor, a little bang with a hammer is going to be a loud noise. I mean, you know, how can you define it like that? Alam Rav Chista said like this. The Gemara's difference is not in the noise level. The Gemara only thought the difference was noise level. So Rav Chista says there can't be. So Rav Chista says that's not what the Mishnah means. What it means is, Haba Magali, Haba Chatzine. Large saws that don't make any noise, and axes that do make noise. Meaning, he's not differentiating, the Gemara says, between loud noises and lower noises. He's differentiating by instruments. Meaning, a saw, you are allowed, and an axe, you're not allowed. Now, at the bottom he says, Rav Chista argues that it's unreasonable to distinguish between degrees of noise. That's the way Rav Chista thought the Gemara meant. So he said, what do you mean loud noise and lesser noise? It doesn't make sense. So he says, we're talking about different instruments. An axe makes a lot of noise, you can't use it. A saw, so he asks right away, obviously even a saw makes noise. But it's a localized noise rather than a noise that echoes out around the area. So therefore he says, a saw you can use, but not an axe. Now, Papa Amar answered a different answer. The question was, how can our Mishnah say you can use tools to fix keys and locks and all that, when the Mishnah in Saita says that in the time of Yechon and Kohen Gadol they stopped it? So Gemara says, you're right. Our Mishnah is speaking before Yechon and Kohen Gadol, and that Mishnah is speaking after Yechon and Kohen Gadol. But you're right, according to that Papa, he says, today you wouldn't be allowed to use any instruments. Cholomayt. He says, Kan Kedem Akzeda, our Mishnah is speaking before Yechon and Kohen Gadol forbid people to use it. And then, Kan, in the other Mishnah, where it says that they didn't bang because of Yechon and Kohen Gadol's decree, La'ach Akzeda is speaking after the decree of Yechon and Kohen Gadol. So that's the Papa's answer. Rav Ashi answers a different answer. Hi. You're adding to the world's population. You know, the world asks the question, who killed a quarter of the world's population?
Who did?
Cain, when he killed Hevel. It's not really true, because they had twin sisters born with them. But like...
They did? You want to say anything about that?
Who did they marry?
Oh.
Cain and Abel.
I don't know, who did they marry? Sisters?
Not from Pico.
Did they marry the sisters?
Yeah. Okay. They have to marry somebody. They have kids.
Okay.
Okay, Ran Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph? I'm an Aleph, like in the middle of the page. Okay. Ravashi, I'm an Ravashi answer is a different answer. Hod Ab Yehuda, our Mishnah, okay, the Mishnah says, that Yechon and Kohen Gadol is not, said you're not allowed to use these instruments, these tools, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And, Hod Rabbi Yasi. And our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yasi. What's the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi? The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi is, it's in the next page, in the next paragraph, but Rabbi Yehuda holds, even to fix things, on Chol HaMoed, has to be done in an unusual manner, not the usual manner. So he holds like this. The Mishnah said in the days of Yechon and Kohen Gadol, they didn't allow any tools, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mishnah, that you're not allowed to use tools to fix things in a usual manner. You can only do it unusual manner to fix things. Rabbi Yasi holds, if the Chachamim permitted you to fix it, then you could do it even in the usual manner. So the Gemara says like this, our Mishnah says you're allowed to use tools, is Rabbi Yasi's opinion. Rabbi Yasi says, once it broke, the lock broke, you need to fix it for Ganavim. If not, you're going to lose money, they're going to steal things from you. So then the thing is, you can do it in a regular fashion. You can use any tool. The Mishnah that says, Yechon and Kohen Gadol decreed that you can't use tools on Cholam and Cholamed, is speaking to fix it in the usual way, what you're not allowed to. Only the unusual way. But that's only Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yasi holds he would be allowed to. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Yitzchak bar Avdimi, because Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi said, Man Tana, Shinui b'mayit b'dover ha'avud, which Tana holds that when you're fixing something for loss of money, you can only fix it in an unusual way. The like Rabbi Yasi, it's not like Rabbi Yasi, because Rabbi Yasi holds once you're allowed to fix it, you're allowed to fix it in a regular way. So you can use any tool you want.
How would you fix something in an irregular way? What would be an example?
You can screw in a screw with a screwdriver.
Right.
But sometimes you could take a dime and tighten the screw. A dime would be the unusual way. The halacha is like Rabbi Yasi, by the way. In fact, tomorrow I was going to say in a second. The halacha is like Rabbi Yasi, that once you need to fix something, you could do it in the normal way of fixing it. You don't have to... Okay? But the Gemara is thinking, like we learned in the Mishnah, if a lock breaks, a pivot breaks, a hinge breaks, something breaks, yeah? If you don't fix it, any thief can come into your house.
So how can we write with the shinoi?
That's writing. You're talking about fixing. We were talking about fixing. So Rabbi Yasi holds, once you're allowed to fix it, you can use any tool you want to fix it. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. Even though they permitted you to fix it, but you can't do it the normal way of fixing it.
Why?
Because cholome, you're not supposed to work. The only reason we permitted it is you shouldn't lose money. You're not live.
Because you're going to do it anyways, and you're going to do it in a harder way. It's much easier to screw with a screwdriver rather than with a gun.
Is the reason because so you wouldn't be doing it professionally?
Just to show, no. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have to show that it's really cholamay. And really you shouldn't be doing this. Because if it wouldn't be for a loss, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. For instance, according to Rabbi Yasi, let's say it's not your front door. Let's say it's just a door in the house that's not safe if the lock is broken. I mean, that's not dangerous if the lock is broken. Yeah? The guy has between the dining room and living room, he has a key. There's a lock, yeah? So even if that lock is broken, you're not afraid that Ganav is going to get in. Correct? So that you wouldn't be allowed to fix in Chol HaMoed. Because the only reason we're permitting it is because of a loss of money. So the Yasi says, once they permitted you to do it, you can do it anyway. Rav Yehuda holds, no. They permitted you to fix it because of a loss of money, but you can't do it the normal way. Something like writing. That if you're writing, you should write a little bit with a change. So in fact, the Gemara says, Amar Ravina said, Kaman Madlino Neidna, who do we hold like nowadays, that you can fix, Kavyusa to fix a lintel over the door, Bechola Demerida in a normal way of doing it, Kaman Krabiesi, it goes according to Krabiesi. And therefore we see the Gemara Paskins, like Krabiesi, that the halacha is, once you need to fix it, you can fix it in the normal fashion. The thing the Mishnah said was, you can't leave it before Yom Tov to fix during Chol HaMoed. But if it broke Chol HaMoed, then you're allowed to fix it. Or if it broke Yom Tov, you can fix it Chol HaMoed. Can't fix it on Yom Tov, obviously. Okay, then the Gemara says, Gemara quotes the Mishnah. It's like 15 lines in the bottom of the page. 14 to be exact. Okay, the Mishnah said another din like that. The other Mishnah said a din that kvashim shayachal lechol b'meid, pickled food, that by pickling it chol HaMoed, it will be edible on Yom Tov or chol HaMoed, kevshim, you're allowed to pickle them in chol HaMoed. But if you're going to pickle them for after Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to, because it's work for no reason at all. So the Gemara says, the Gemara tells a story. B'dis levai kavrei, and one chol HaMoed, the Bedisa River in Levi was drained, and then the water emptied out, and because of that, there are many, many fish stranded on the floor of the river, because the water emptied out, and the fish stayed where they were. So they had an abundance of raw fish. So the Gemara says, Ozu kula alma tsud aise kavra. Everybody ran to catch and bring back the fish. So everybody now caught a lot of fish. Now the question, like the freezers they didn't have. How did they preserve fish?
Salted.
With salt. Smoking or salting it. Now the shaila is, not all this fish is going to be eaten on Yom Tov. Because it broke in Chol HaMoed. Mm-hmm. So you have five fish you can eat. Each rag of 50 fish they brought. So now the question is, our Mishnah says basically, you can't pickle fish for after Yom Tov. So the question is, can they do that now? Can they salt the fish? So the Gemara says, Sha'aru lolo Rava lemimcha minay. Rava permitted them that they can salt, but it's like, even those that weren't needed for Yom Tov, he uses the expression to steep some of them. They would push it heavy salt. We'll soon see how they used to squeeze the salt out of the fish. Huh? Okay, so now L'cha'era, Rava said, you could do it. Amalei Abaye said to Rava, Hatnam, but our Mishnah says, Kvashin Shayachal Lechum and B'meir Kevshin. You can only pickle fish that you're going to eat on Yom Tov. This fish they're not going to eat on Yom Tov. How are you permitting them to salt the fish for after Yom Tov when our Mishnah says clearly only fish for Yom Tov? Amalei, Sarava answered him like this. Kivin the Mikara died to the Ochlaisinu. Initially, they brought home the fish to eat on Yom Tov. They have extra fish. That was not their intention. Their intention was to eat it on Yom Tov. So therefore, vishavik luhu, if you leave the extra fish without salting it, it's going to spoil. If it spoils, it's davar ha'avud. It's a loss of money. So because of that, you're allowed to do it. So Rav explained, why did he permit the people to salt the fish even though they're not doing it? See, our Mishnah that says you can only salt or pickle fish that you need for Yom Tov, it's not speaking where there's going to be a loss of money. You want to pickle some fish, you can only pickle what you need for Yom Tov. Over here, they brought home the fish to eat on Yom Tov. It so happened, they have leftover fish. Now if they don't do anything with it, they're going to ruin it. So Rav said, if that's the case, it's Dovid HaOvid, it's not any different than loss of money that you're allowed to do
it. Yeah, but they're bringing home such an abundance of fish. It's not possible that they could think that they're going to use this for Yom Tov. In their minds.
But Rav said, but the Torah allows you to do liberally. Like we mentioned last week. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov? Yes. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov after Yom Tov. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you cook, do you have to have exactly the portions? Okay, this guy's going to eat this portion, and right. This guy. Or can you cook liberally?
You can cook liberally.
Something's going to be left over.
50 fish, though.
Something's going to be left over.
Yeah.
What's the answer? I'm allowed to cook. Maybe I'll have a lot of guests. Okay. But I can't intentionally cook.
So that benefit of the doubt, so to speak.
Right.
They might
so Rava says the fact is the guys brought home the fish early. They brought it home to eat on Yom Tov, or Cholamed, on Yom Tov. Now they have leftover fish, and they know they're not going to eat it all. So now if you don't allow it, and he says, it's like kramatia, it's like merchandise, that if you don't sell it, you're going to lose money, and therefore it's allowed. That's how he answered Abaye's question. Abaye said, how can you salt, pickle or salt for after Yom Tov, when it's, the Mishnah only says you can do it for Yom Tov. So he said, okay, because they wanted to do it. That's one opinion. Another opinion, Vikad Amri, the Gemara says, Sharle Rava made sad mezal, I to say mimloch. Rava, not only, see, the first version of the Gemara was, they brought back the fish already. Rava didn't say, go catch fish. The people ran and caught fish, and now they bring back a pack of fish. So they said, Rava, what should we do? So Rava said, you know what, you're going to lose money. Go salt them. According to that, though, what would be if they asked Rava to begin with? Can we go catch a lot of fish?
He would say no.
Only what you need for Yom Tov. That's the first version of the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Ika Damri. It's like 10 lines in the bottom of the page here. Ika Damri, other people ruled. Sharlare Rava, Meitz and Meza Atucha Mimlech. Rava told them, go catch fish as much as you want and go salt them. So Amalei Abaye said to him, this is just a different version of the story. So he said, but our Mishnah says, only pickled food that you can eat on Yom Tov. How could you tell them to bring back fish that they're not even going to be able to eat on Yom Tov? Amalei Rava said like this, Hainami misachla agav itzasa. These also could be eaten through pressing. Now what does pressing mean? Now, He says like this. Rashi explains, fish is squeezed, which forces the salt to come out. Squeezing the fish is equivalent to drying it out, and dried salted fish are edible. So he says, they're edible on Yom Tov. Because if you squeeze out the salt, they're edible. So what did the Mishnah say? You can only salt what you can eat on Yom Tov. So Rava says, it's not a problem. This could be eaten on Yom Tov. You squeeze out the salt and you can eat it on Yom Tov. Okay. So then the Gemara says like this. Kiha, the Shmuel, avid le-shit in itzasiv achal. Because Shmuel, they did 60 pressings of freshly salted fish and then he ate it. And the Mefarshim explained this exaggeration. He says like this. Theoretically, being salted for use on the Yom Tif, okay, says like this. This is stretching the halacha. He says, any fish I take now and salt, any fish I take, technically I can eat it on Yom Tif. Because you press out the salt, you can eat it. Then I decide, no, I don't want this fish, I want another fish. So I could do the next fish.
So you just keep going.
Ad infinitum. In other words, every fish I take, let's say the guy has 10 fish, every fish I take, technically this fish, am I allowed to take it? Yes. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm allowed to make it salted. Then I decide, you know what, I don't want this fish. I want another piece of fish. Can I take this new piece of fish if that's what I want to eat? Yes. And I can do all time like that.
60,
whatever. No, I think that they did 60 pressing. I don't know if it was 60 fish. I know exactly.
A whole bunch in the press too. What is he trying to figure out? A new reason why you can take so many fish for your
own?
Is that the reason?
Right.
What's the point? That's the point of this? Should be working. Excess work. That's what it is. So you have that ability to change your mind constantly.
Why couldn't you say that, you're allowed to go and pick as many fish as you can, because if you don't, you're going to lose out.
No, it's a loss of profit. It's a loss of profit. We discussed this last week, if you remember. Taisa says there's a difference between... Here, Avim leyafse min akeren. Tesis on the bottom page over there said, if you're not going to lose the principle, you just won't make a profit. That's not called dover ha'avud. That's not called losing something. In other words, what the Gemara said before, something in business, which is dover ha'avud. Yeah, you're allowed to do on Yom Tif. Tesis explains that's only losing and not making a profit. Like, I'm allowed to fix a lock because my Daganif will come in and steal something from my house. So I'm going to be losing the principal. But if it's a question of not making a profit, that's not called a loss of money. So as far as this thing goes.
Let me ask you a real example. I go to work, it's called up when I have a store.
Yeah.
I have 1,000 dresses, somebody comes and says, I want to buy your dress. What do I tell them? To buy my dresses?
You could.
I could sell it.
You're allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed because you have workers to pay.
Right.
Okay? Whether they come in or not, you have to pay them. Okay. You have your electric bill to pay. You have a...
rent.
Whatever. You have your rent to pay. Okay. So that's all cause of loss from the principal. Uh-huh. Now, if you're going to be losing money... So if I don't sell a dress, it's not the pshat I'm not making money. If I don't sell a dress, I'm going to lose money. And that you're allowed to do.
So I can just go to work like
another day. But it says, that if a person has a business, they're going to lose money if they don't go into the business. Not Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, they're allowed to go. Is it the best thing to do? No. Effective.
I know if the same buyer comes and decides to say buy the whole 1,000 dresses, you're still selling. It's the same as catching all the fish.
Right. Right.
Last week, he said something that
I don't understand.
That you couldn't do the...
No, he said there'll be a loss of money. If a guy doesn't have workers, okay, and he won't lose money, then technically he can't do work on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. Because then there's a loss of money.
He still has expenses.
Like what?
Like the trade rent
or the valuation of the...
Lechatchila, you can't do it. The best thing is, cannot.
Cannot.
Are there leniencies to figure out that there will be a loss of money? It's possible to figure it out.
Lose a customer if you're not there.
That's another hetzer that they use. I was just thinking that before. I didn't just say that. You might lose a customer.
Yeah, you don't take care of him. You know. He wants a loan now.
The question is only, is losing a customer a lack of profit or is taka loss of money?
It's a fine line.
Yeah. Bechlal, it's a very fine line between not making a profit or losing money. You know, how do you...
I think it's losing money. I think it's very clear.
Why?
You lose a customer, he's not coming back anymore. You've lost
so,
him. You need him.
You're not losing principal now. You're not going to get profit from this guy anymore.
There's no principle in that
company. Yeah, but a customer base is what keeps things
afloat. You don't have merchandise.
Yeah, but principal could be rent, electricity, workers.
That customer is your principal and profit.
No, I'm saying, what happens if you have a worker, you have to pay the worker, then the stock will lose some money.
Sure. Even a loan broker has expenses. That does it by itself. He has to go to the office, he has to pay the electricity, the phone bills, this.
But he doesn't go to the office, he doesn't turn on electricity.
The rent anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Is paying the rent called a loss of money? You have to pay the rent anyway. Nobody says because I close Shabbos, I'm losing money because I have to pay the rent. Nobody looks at it that way. You lose money because you don't make profit, maybe if you close on Shabbos. But nobody's going to say I'm losing money on Shabbos because I have to pay the rent. I don't know if you look at it that way.
You are. Yeah, you can't.
Huh?
You
can look at it that way, but it's not necessarily looking at it that way. It's much different than having to pay a worker $100 for the day, whether I'm open or not. That's a loss of money. Because I'm paying money out of pocket, it's a loss. Rent is a general thing that you're paying rent. I mean... Somebody's going to say, because I'm not there at night, I'm losing money in my business because I'm paying the rent. It's
store,
a funny...
Let's say some of these stores in expensive areas, $30,000 a month rent. Ooh. And most of the money makes on the Shabbos.
No.
It doesn't go.
Shabbos, it doesn't help if you lose money.
No, I'm saying, from his point of view. Or
so then he should,
to, or
so then he should be open 24-7, because at night he's losing money.
That's the argument they can bring. I mean, for Yom Tov, too, I'm talking about.
But only applies to Chol HaMoed. The question is this actually a loss of money or not?
Not necessarily. If you pay $3,000 rent a month, you must have a good start.
I just live in Los Angeles, you pay a lot of money. Nothing.
It's part time for day and every drive.
Okay. Then the Gemara is.
By the way, quick question.
What?
If a person chooses not to work on Chol HaMoed, right? Even though, you know, it might be a loss of money for him.
Yeah.
But he chooses not to because he wants to do it for Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
Is he considered a fool for doing so?
No. Because Halacha says that's the right way of doing it.
Just put your trust in
Hashem. And the truth is, if Hashem wants, you can have the same Parnasa anyway.
Exactly.
You know, so it really doesn't matter to think that I'm gonna. Okay, now the Gemara tells a similar fish story. Rava came to the house of Reish Galusa. He was the guy that was appointed by the Roman emperors, you know, in charge of the Jews in Israel, or in Bavel. And also, Avdala Shitin Itzeva Ochel. They did for him 60 pressings of a freshly salted fish, and he ate it. Again, it seems that it wasn't 60 fish, it was like. They squeezed it 60 times.
Maybe sardine type.
I don't know what this is. I don't know. But before he says, the number 60 is not always meant precise, but it's sometimes used simply as an expression of numerous times. Kedan the Gemara says, Rav ikloy lebei Rav Shapir. Rav visited the house of Rav Shapir, the rabbi, on Chol HaMoed. Aisilakameh kavro. They served a certain fish. How was the fish? Tilsa bishula. It was a third boiled, a third salted, and a third broiled. It was cooked. A third was cooked, third salted, and a third broiled. So what does it say? That means, how is it rendered to be eaten, the salted, by pressing it? So you see, the Gemara's question was, initially, the Gemara was thinking, if you salt the fish, then it's not edible. So the answer is, yes, it is edible, because you can squeeze the fish out of the salt, and the mid-salt, fish out of, you can squeeze the salt out of the fish, and it's edible. You can eat it. Then the Gemara says like this. It's very interesting the way the Gemara used to learn lessons from everybody. The Gemara is going to say a few lessons Rav learned from a fisherman. All the way at the end of the parak.
I don't even hear talking about washing a fish. I just hear about squeezing salt out. You can't wash a fish?
You could. That's to clean it.
Okay. I mean, they keep using squeezing. I never...
No, because they have to preserve it. Right. They used to salt it.
Right, but you squeeze the salt out when you want to eat it.
Yeah, they used to actually squeeze the fish, wash it.
They don't wash the fish?
To get the salt out, they used to
squeeze it.
They didn't have sinks like we have today, don't forget.
You're right, they had wells.
Amar Rav said, Gemara is going to say a bunch of four lessons Rav learned from the fishermen. Amar Rav said, Amar Ada Tzaida, the fisherman's name was Ada. That was his name. Kavra Samach Lemisvich Ma'ali. The fish, when's the best time to eat the fish? Right before it starts rotting.
Mm. Taisus
over here.
That appreciation for sushi.
No, listen to this. Taisus says, "Bizmana ze, Taisus sakana lemechel samach lesichen." Nowadays, it's dangerous to eat it. Okay, and the Gemara says, Taisus says, "V'shemen ishtanu kameiru fusha b'shas," which are not good bizmana ze. There's many remedies that the Gemara says in different places that Taisus writes that were only good in those days. Nowadays, they're not good. If you look at the Rambam's health diet, you know, it's completely, I mean, Rambam says, don't eat this food which we know today is healthy, and eat this, a lot of this food which we know is not healthy. It's not the Pshat Rambam was wrong. In those days, the bodies were different than they are today. So, Rav said, the fisherman told me, the best time to eat fish is right before it spoils. And then he said another thing. Rav said, Amali Adetzayda, Ada, the fisherman, said to me like this, Kavra tavya ba'achui. The best way of eating fish is to broil it with its brother, meaning in salt. Why? Rashi explains, why is salt called the brother of a fish? Because they all come from the same place, from the water. So the best way to eat fish is to broil it with salt, suke ba'avo, and then place it in his father, which is the water, and michle bevrei, and eat it with the son, meaning to dip it into fish broth. Ishta ala avoy, and then drink the father afterwards, meaning drink water. It was just cute expression, father, brother, son. Ada told Rav, the best way to eat fish is, number one, broil it in salt, then wash it in water, and then dip it into fish broth, and then drink water afterwards.
Broil it in salt, wash it in water?
Yeah. Dip it into fish broth, and then drink water afterwards. It's the healthiest way to eat fish. Mm-hmm. And then the Gemara says, another one, Rav said, Amali Adetayda, this is the third fisherman tale, Adetayda said to him, Kavra tachla v'chalav. After eating fish, cress, and milk, I don't know, what's cress? I don't know what it is. Okay. Lit and gufa, you should burden your body with activity. V'le lit and purya, and not burden your bed, meaning don't go to sleep. The fisherman said to Rav, after eating fish or milk, don't go to sleep, do some activity, and then go to sleep. Yeah.
The
Grashi should not go to sleep. He should walk a lot before he goes to sleep. And the last thing is, don't burden your bed, meaning don't go to sleep right away. And then the parak finishes the last thing. Amar Rav, Amali Adetzayda, Kavra Tachla V'Chalav. After fish, cress, and milk, Mayav L'Shichr, is better to drink water rather than beer. Shichr V'Lechama, and is better to drink beer rather than wine. So after milk or cress or fish, the best thing to drink is water. Second, if not water, beer. The worst thing to drink is wine.
So
they use challah on fish together.
No, afterwards, he says. After.
What's cress?
I don't know what cress is.
Salt or...
I don't know. C-R-E-S-S.
I've heard it before. I don't know. That.
I don't know what it is. Rashi says, shachlim, I mean... I don't know. Okay, that's the end of this parak. Start the next parak.
What?
Started today. We're supposed to start 25 after.
Oh.
Marv ends earlier. Marv is a quarter after.
What time did you
start? Next week will be 20 after.
What time did you start?
Well.
I just want to know if I came way too late.
You didn't come way too late. You're here on time. Okay, now they're starting the second paddock. Now, Gemara is going to talk over here again about Chol HaMoed, but also about Avelus. Because when a person is an Avel, God forbid, during Shiva, it's rabbinically forbidden to do work. Okay. Chol HaMoed, we'll see in the Gemara, is an argument if it's biblical or rabbinic. But for an Avel, it's now. In the olden times, before they pressed olives, they used to turn over the olives. Okay? Meaning, they were placed, before they pressed the olives, Rashi explains, he used to put them in a vat, that the pressure, like of one on another, would soften them up, and then they would press them. The problem is, once you soften the olives by putting them to a vat, you had to press them right away. Because if you didn't press them right away, they all went bad. So in other words, it was the beginning of the pressing process. Now, the Mishnah is going to say, what happens if somebody was about to press his olives, he put them in the vat to soften them, and then he heard that somebody died, a relative, and now he's an Avel, and now he's not allowed to do work. So the question, what does he do? So the Mishnah says like this, Misha hafach hazeisov, a person who turned over his olive, meaning like Rashi says, he prepared them in the vat, to prepare them for pressing. Once the process begins, you have to do it right away. But what happened? We eat an oval, and God forbid, an oval happened. He became an oval, or anus. A person was about to do it before Yom Tov. Okay, and an accident happened, and he wasn't able to press the olives right before Yom Tov. Now the question is, can he do it Chol HaMoed? Don't forget, in Israel they have one day Yom Tov, so it wasn't so bad. You know, it's one day Yom Tov. So the din is, Pelim Tain Keder Rishaino, the worker, the guy himself can't do it, okay? Or Shehitu Pelim, or his workers tricked him. Meaning, the workers promised to come, and they didn't show up. And now it's Chol HaMoed. So the din is, Tain Keder Rishaino, you're allowed to put the first board on top of the olives to do the initial pressing. Then umanicha lachar ameid divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds like this: you can, because it's a loss of money if you don't press him, you could do the first pressing. In other words, in the olden times, Rashi explains, he used to do a few pressings. The first press takes out most of the oil. Then you press it again, you get the remnant oil. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the first opinion of the Mishnah, you can only do something that's going to cause you a loss of money if you don't do it. He said, once the first pressing is done, either two with wings, the Mefarshim learn, the loss will be minimal because most of the oil is out already. Or some Mefarshim, there won't be a loss at all because the oil that came out will protect the oil that's not out yet that it shouldn't ruin. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can only do the first pressing and that's it. But Rabbi Yossi says, interesting thing. Zeilev v'geimer v'kadarki. He can pour the oil into the press. He finishes all the needs of the press. Seals the vat in the usual manner. And this is the Rabbi Yossi Rambido we just learned at the other page. Meaning, Rabbi Yossi holds, once you're allowed to start, you can finish it. Rabbi Yehuda is stricter. He holds, you can only do what's going to save you a loss of money. But once there's no loss of money anymore, you have to stop in the middle of the work. Rabbi Yossi is more lenient with Chol HaMoed. And he says, number one, like we learned before in the Gemara, even if it's not the usual manner Once you're allowed to do it, you can do it even in the usual manner. And therefore, Rabbi Yisrael, you can even finish the whole process. Once you started, as we spoke about muksa before, once you have the muksa in your hand in a permissible way, you can put down wherever you want already. Rabbi Yisrael, once you start, you can continue. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're only allowed to continue, that there shouldn't be a loss of money. There's no loss of money anymore, you can't do it anymore. That's what the Buddha holds. So the Gemara asked the question like this. The beginning of the Mishnah started off with an Ovel, and then it goes into Chol HaMoed. And it doesn't talk about an Ovel anymore. So the Gemara asks, Pasach ba'Ovel v'siyim b'Moed. The Mishnah starts off what you're not allowed to do because of Avelus. And then it finishes with the Dinim of Chol HaMoed. So he says, why is the Mishnah doing that? So Gemara says, Amar of Shisha b'ed Ravidi, Zei Semeris, this teaches us like this. Dvarim ha-mutarim b'mayid, was forbidden to do Chol HaMoed, I'm sorry, things permitted to do Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do during the time of Avelus. Which means that Avelus is stricter than Chol HaMoed.
So we're talking about that all the permissibilities that are allowed on Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, an Avel was not able to do it.
Correct. But the Gemara is going to ask a question, because, like we said before, Chol HaMoed is biblical source. Avelus is rabbinic source. So it doesn't make sense to say that what's allowed on Chol HaMoed should be also for an Ovel. That doesn't make sense. Chol HaMoed is stricter than Avelus. Avelus is only rabbinic. Chol HaMoed is biblical. Or, meanwhile.
Then we hold that rabbinic ordinance is something.
Well, that's the whole question over here. How does it work? But that's where Rav Shishi Brei Davidi says. Rav Ashi Amar no. It says, Lemi by the mission means the opposite way. Not only is it permitted in the rabbinic by Avelus, where it's only rabbinic, even Chol HaMoed, the Isra B'lochem Midaraisa, that it's biblical, but Malkim say the Mutter, Rav Sheish is doing just the opposite. Rav Sheish B'Ravida says Avelus is stricter, so even though you're allowed to do things Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do it during Avelus. Rav Ashi says it's the opposite. Not only can you do it during the time of Avelus, which is only rabbinically forbidden, but even if it's biblically forbidden, like Chol HaMoed, you're also allowed to do it if there's a loss of money. Tesis over here in the Rishonim discussed this because L'Cheira, it's not so simple that Chol HaMoed is Min HaTeira. Because Tesis just says over here, I explained this already at the beginning of the Masechta. Tesis at the beginning of the Masechta asks a question, and the whole concept, the first mission of Meir Katan was discussing what you're allowed to do Chol HaMoed, what you're not allowed to, remember, if the irrigated field, you're going to lose money, you can do it. So Tesis asks a question over there. So Taisa basically discusses, is it Asim min HaTeira or not?
In Chumash, it only says don't work the first and last day.
Yeah, but it says, Sheish Yisam Teichu Matzis, Vayem HaShvi Atzeres L'Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara learns, Zasek Shvi is Atzer, that you're not allowed to do work. The same day, the 6 days, are also not allowed to work. So Taisa learns, and this is the way most of the Rishonim learn, that it's only Midrabanan. They found a hint to it in the Chumash. But primarily, meaning even the Gemara says Deraisa, that Chol HaMoed here is Min HaTeira, Taisis learns, and most of the Rishonim learn, the Gemara doesn't mean it's also from the Teira. There is a hint to the concept in the Teira.
That's how we got the rabbis to run with it.
Right. Well, listen, if it's biblically forbidden, like the Rishonim, right, if it's biblically forbidden Chol HaMoed to do work, how can the Chacham permit if there's a loss of money? Do a Shabbos they permit for loss of money? No.
Sure.
But Okay, so if the Chol HaMoed is rabbinic, then the rabbin, the Chachamim, when they made the din of Chol HaMoed, they said, listen, it's forbidden to do work, but there are exceptions to the rule. Then it makes sense. But if Chol HaMoed is biblically forbidden to do work, the Chacham can't come along and say, well, 1 minute. If there's a loss of money, you could. I mean, they have no right to do that. The Chacham can't come along on Shabbos and say something which is biblically forbidden, well, for a loss of money, you could do it. There's no such thing. So therefore, most of the Shanim write that granted it's biblical, it's rabbinic, but they find and that's why the Gemara calls it the Deraisa. Not that it's really from the Torah. They find a hint to it in the Torah, and that's why.
This is the Deraisa.
Well, the Gemara's Lashon is, Issa Melacha Mideraisa. So, in fact, he brings down over here by the side the Tesis and Chagiga. Tesis and Chagiga. We probably discussed the Tesis when we did it here. Tesis says, Lacheda Mashma, Tesis and Chagiga, quotes the Gemara that says, Chol HaMoed is min ha-Torah. So Tesis, Lacheda Mashma, Nimlocha, the Mitzvah Midaraisa. Tesis over here in Chagiga, that the Gemara seems to imply in Chagiga, that work and Chol HaMoed is biblically forbidden. So Tesis asks, in Cain, Davar Avod, how did Chum permit if it's Asim in Atayla? So this Gemara, Tesis and Chagiga. So Tesis answers, it's not Asif in the Torah. But because they find a hint to it in the Pasuk, they call it the Torah. But Tesis says clearly, if it's forbidden from the Torah to do Melacha, how in the world can you do the Atayla? You can't do Atayla like that. Okay.